Oh, it's good to be in church this morning, and we just want to start by introducing ourselves. My name is Sami Ndlovu, and standing next to me, and ever growing beautiful from the first time I met her to now, is my beautiful wife, Edna. And
good morning. Good morning, church. What an awesome day to actually stand and not sing, but to actually be able to just talk to the church today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray together as we start. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that as we get into your word, give us more insight, give us understanding. Lord, we know that the entrance of your word gives understanding to the simple. May we grow and may we mature as we speak and as we get the word of God in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So today we will continue with the building blocks of marriages and families. And we did hear last week from Pastor Walker, and he talked about marriage responsibilities. What a blessing that was. And if you were not here, please get it. It's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, it's on our platform, our website. Go and listen to it over and over, and you will be blessed. And I want to start this morning by saying that marriage can be likened to a garden. And so what is growing in the garden is a reflection of the gardener. And today we hear who the gardener is. Of course, the ultimate gardener is God, but we hear how that looks like. All right, so imagine you are driving a car, and I did share last time about my vehicle where every time I get into that car, it's either I pray for myself or I pray for the car. But this car had something in front of it. It had the dashboard. And the dashboard gives you some lights on it. You know, there's red, there's blue, there is yellow. And so over time, the car kept on giving me these lights. And I wasn't paying attention to the signs on my car. And over time, the car broke down. And marriage can be seen in that light. Think about, imagine your life, your marriage, as you have a dashboard in front of you. What kind of lights would show in your marriage? Are they red? Are they yellow? Or are they blue? Red will show you like this marriage is in danger. Or red would mean wife is overheating. Is it overheating? Is the marriage overheating? Is the marriage lacking leadership? Is the marriage lacking also emotional attachment, attention? Because the lights are actually showing you that this vehicle needs attention. But instead of going to fix what the lights are signaling, what do? We start praying that the lights go off. There are things that you pray for and there are things that you need to act on. And so the dashboard, you don't pray for the dashboard. You pray that you're going to fix the vehicle. So when the lights are showing in our marriages, we don't pray. Yes, it's good to pray, but there are things that we need to take action on and going to fix those pointers. So like I said this morning, my wife and I, Edna, will talk about building block, and the building block that we're going to talk about today is building towards oneness in marriage. Building towardness in marriage. Oneness in marriage. So any structure, I do build from time to time. So any structure, by the time you're building it and you're finished with it, people might not know how much effort, how much money, how much resources went into the foundation. And the foundation is what will make the structure stand. And so sometimes there are cracks on the structure, and the cracks on the structure, actually, most times and oftentimes, it shows us where the problem is. The problem is in the foundation and not necessarily the cracks. Of course, there are certain cracks that it's not the foundation, but in most cases, it's the foundation. And so, when we got married, how did I build my marriage? What are the things that I looked at? So the first thing that I did in my marriage, and before we turn there, I want us to turn to what David said in Psalm 13, Psalm 11, verse 3. He says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous quit? Do they quit at when the foundations are destroyed? Do they despair when the foundations are destroyed? Do they run away when the foundations are destroyed? Or do they become bitter when the foundations are destroyed? So how did I build when my foundations were showing cracks, when the house, my structure, or my marriage was showing cracks? So the first thing I did in my marriage, as I was building, this is what I did. I took much of my effort in this area, work and wealth. I thought, they say, good work, and if you make more money, it makes a man. So as a young man at the time, I'm thinking, if I can put much effort in this area of our marriage, everything else will be okay. So I'm putting effort in there, and I'm building this area. And it's interesting that as I'm doing this area, I'm neglecting something that is more important than wealth and work. And it is this institution that is cracking. And I'm doing everything. And I'm thinking I'm doing a good job. I'm providing. My wife is happy. She looks happy. Not that she's happy, but she looks happy from the outside. And I'm building. Because I'm thinking if I can provide what she needs, you know, then I am doing so well. So this was a weak foundation I was building on in my marriage, on work. And the Bible talks about work and wealth. But this is not all there is in marriage. So I'm building there. Then I say the second block that I need to do as I'm building. I was like, okay, the second thing I'm going to do as I'm building, I'm going to build on physical intimacy. All right. Now we got this. As a guy, you know when you're young, you're hot. You know what I'm saying, right? Uh-huh. But as you grow old, the engine begins to go. Uh-huh. The generator. But anyway, I'm putting much effort in this. I'm putting much effort in... The young people didn't get it, but you'll get it. It's wear and tear in the generator. But I'm putting so much effort in this area, and I'm thinking, man, I am getting it better. I'm enjoying myself. Then my needs should be met. My wife should make me happy. If my physical intimacy is met, then I'm a happy man. And yet, I'm still building on the sand. And as I kept on going, I realized, what am I doing to myself? Because the cracks are not, they are getting worse. They are not changing. And I said, look, maybe let me do another building block to this marriage. Then I go to take this building block, which is spiritual. I said, now I got it. Now we can bring God into the family. Now I can go to church. Now I can volunteer at church. After all, they say God helps those who do what? Ah, so you know. So I help myself with wealth. My wife is, the intimacy is okay. And I said, now I'm building on my marriage on this. Do you think this marriage will stand? It won't? All right. So this is how I was building. Let's hear also, because now in our marriage, we're not really one. And let's hear how Edna also was building in the marriage.
Hallelujah. So as he was building, I was also building. And in my building, I came in with a very wonderful book. And many of you women may know this book. And this book was from my cultural lessons. And I came with this special book because I saw my mom do it. And she did it so well and have been married for like forever. And well, what should not work? So I started to build. He's building and I'm building. Okay? So here's how I started to build. All right. This is my building in our home. Culture. I came in with culture. Culture was for me what was going to build our marriage. If I could only do all the guidelines to the T, you know what I'm talking about, women, right? Yeah. To the T. If I can do all of those, he's going to be happy, I'm going to be happy, end of story. So this is my building. So culture is there. I was actually thinking now, reading Ephesians 5 verse 33b, I thought that time I was Ephesians 5:33b Amplified Classic in action. I was, and I think I was trying so hard. But then he told me one time, he said, you know what? Our marriage is great, but our friendship is strained. Our friendship is strained because culture has a way of you respecting your husband, but then it takes away the friendship. And I didn't want to take away the friendship, but also I wanted a good marriage. And the only way that we were going to have a good marriage was for me to follow the culture. My mom did it. And she's still married. I don't know if there's supposed to be happiness. I don't know. But all I know is I'm supposed to follow the rules. And I followed the rules of culture. But it strained the friendship. And to me, culture told me, he's my husband, and I'm the wife. And the wife needs to do what the wife needs to do. And the friendship thing is not anywhere in the cultural guidelines that I got. So I'm building. What was my next thing in my building? Well, babe, help me. Intimacy. Now, coming from the culture, you know, this is not removed. This is the top of the list. If he's happy there, you're good to go. So if he looks sad, he's not happy with the friendship, just sort him out, girl. Sort him out. He's going to be happy and everything's going to be forgotten. And that's what I did. It was culture, intimacy. And I guess he was very happy because he was also building on it. So so we were happy there. But again, culture, in a sense, did not bring everything that we needed. Intimacy could only go so far because after a few days, you know, you're back to square one in a sense. Then I thought, okay, I have heard that. If all else fails, you have got to pray. And somehow, God will come through for you. And so, yep, let's go to church. And so, when you see me, you would have known that all my life I've always been a church girl. But I've never known what Christ said about marriage. I've never really understood what he said about marriage. And so for me, it was just, well, he's not getting me. I'm not getting him. Let's try and pray. And I actually bought a book called The Praying Woman. Mm. And I would pray using those prayers there. And I would say, Lord, whatever you can do, do. Because I really don't understand this anymore. And I know that many of us women sometimes, we think about that. We think God is the last resort. If culture cannot fix it, if intimacy cannot fix it, then maybe God will fix it. And that's how I was building.
All right. So again, that's the structure that Edna was building. So now we are now thinking, what is the issue here? Because we are still not getting better. We still don't understand. We still have conflict in the home. We are not one. We are not a team. You know, Edna is thinking she's building, and I'm thinking I'm building, and yet we are all building opposite directions. And the marriage is not a team. And I do remember what started happening was that in 2014, I came here at Miracle Life, and she was coming to this church, and I was going to another church. So you saw, just from there, you can tell we are not a team. So me, I go on a Saturday, she comes here on a Sunday. So one day I came here, and there was a sermon, I think that was Pastor Walker preaching about marriage, or family, I can't remember very well. But he said, if your wife is going to another church, and you are here, I would rather you go and be with your wife and vice versa. And I'm thinking, which pastor says things like that? Pastors want to keep people. But this pastor is willing to lose the member for the sake of this union. I was like, all right, I'll come the other week. And before you know it, I join the church. Now, in joining the church, now we're thinking now, Edna and I are beginning to see for what it is. Because she was feeding from another pot, and I was feeding from another pot. So like every Friday night for us, we used to have what is called opening of the Shabbat. So half in the night, in the evening, and I bring the kids together. We get bread and wine. You shouldn't do the wine, okay? So we bring the wine. And start praying. Edna was not part of the team because all she saw a cult. And so we are not a team. So now I begin to say, okay, we need to start talking. So start talking. I says, Edna, what is our spirituality like? So we started now saying, okay, let's go to build on this side. Now it begins to change in my mind. Now, scriptures at this particular time begin to change. They begin to speak to me more. The same scripture, the Matthew 6:33, seek he first the kingdom of God. Now I'm seeking, what does God say about marriage? What is my role in this marriage? So I began now to work on my marriage. Now I want to show you a picture. Do we have that image? In Psalm, I want to use this image. It's actually, if you read Psalm 128, let's put Psalm 128 first before we do the picture. Psalm 128 says this. It says, blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So I said, the first thing I need to do is to fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Then second verse says, third verse, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all over your table. So now, I was like, okay, how does this happen? Because this is the beginning of what God is beginning. Scriptures begin to become alive in me. And if you know something about me, I can be extreme. I can be extreme. I can be so passionate about something, and I can go to extreme. Right now, I'm so passionate about my wife that I can even die for her, physically. Once I get something in my spirit, trust me, for you to move me, I don't know what you need to do. There are certain people that I love so much in my life that I can actually lay my life for them. If I have friendship that is tight and we are together like this, man, you can't move me. So I can be extreme. It reminds me of Paul. It says when he was going after the church, he was going with fire and brimstones. And God says, if I'm going to build my church, I need a man like this one. So I was so passionate. So I began to see those scriptures. It says, if I'm going, my wife is going to be a fruitful vine, like likened to a fruitful vine. What do I need to do? Let's put the picture again. You see the vine? But what you don't see in the vine, in fact, you can see, what you don't really see in the vine, do you see the pose? Do you see the pose? So if the vine is on the ground, is this vine going to be fruitful? It will be spoiled, it will be eaten and all that. So I said, look, I need to be a strong pole for my wife to become like a fruitful vine. So I began now to work on scripture. Scripture started getting into my spirit. And I started saying, what does the Bible say? How do I honor and cherish my wife? So I said, baby, from now on, you don't open the door. I open the door for you. So now, remember, these things were not happening in the marriage. But now, every time Edna goes to the cashier, I think, no. It's my responsibility, because now small things begin to make sense. I said, I need now, how did Jesus say in the Bible, in Ephesians? It says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Now, Edna now started going to the extreme of it as well now. At this point, one day I remember Edna wasn't feeling too well during the day. And we're in touch, we're talking. And come evening, she said, how are you feeling? I said, oh, I'm still not too well. And then I go to bed about 20, 21, somewhere there. 23 hours, my wife, nudges me and says, hey, what's up? I says, I need medicine. Now, women have a way of speaking. They just say, I need medicine. You know what that means. So it meant that I needed now to get out of the bed and go and buy medicine. And I'm thinking, man, do I need to? Before, I would be very upset. But this particular time now, scripture, remember, everything I'm filtering is through scripture. I says, man, is this what it means to sacrifice? So I take off, I'm upset inside of me. I'm saying, why? You had the whole day to do something about this thing. Then you wait for me to come, and now you can disturb my sweet sleep. Should have done something about it. But I take off, I go to the mall, get the medicine, and I give her, and I begin to see another person in our marriage. So one day we were with a group of men, with Pastor Walker and another gentleman. So we're going through Bible, memorizing scriptures and all that kind of stuff. So the scripture in 1 Corinthians about love, just becomes, when just something just jumps from the page and says, wow. Then I said, all right, I'm going to be on a 30-day sacrifice to deny myself. So I started asking Edna, what do you want? Every day, tell me what you want. By the time we're in the 15th day, Edna has nothing to say, has nothing to give me. So I started building on the spiritual life of my family. And this is where now the family and the marriage begins to take a different turn. Small things, calling out during the day, how are you doing? Sometimes you're on Facebook, pictures come. Nowadays with so much images out there, when I see an image that is not good for me, I call my wife, baby, how are you doing? So that I do it, that image should not remain with me. Says, how are you doing? I'm doing well. I said, I'm well as well. Amen. So it's small things that we're putting in place to ensure that now I live on the word of God. And I begin to see now how scripture and how chasing after God is changing the whole picture of marriage. The thing that was very important to me becomes so useless. I'm not focusing on this anymore, especially the second part. I'm not focusing this, may I throw it away. I said, if I can get better with God, God will fix this part. So I start putting my effort in there. So let's hear from Edna and how she started building from when I started building from here.
Amen. So the second building block that we decided to look at was intimacy. Not physical intimacy, but just intimacy. Please help me. You can put it there. Just intimacy. Now, remember, we live together, but we barely knew each other. And we struggled so much. We struggled in our communication. We struggled in our friendship. We struggled in knowing our personalities. And we did not appreciate our uniquenesses and our spirituality before we actually started building together was not that great. And so I believe that in marriage, the intimacy should be so great that, I mean, the intimacy that you experience there, you cannot experience it anywhere else. And I was of that belief that in this marriage, there should be this intimacy that I should be experiencing. But at the time, I was not experiencing it. And sadly, many couples feel distant and alone in marriages today because we're not building and understanding how we should cultivate this intimacy in our marriage. And so, as we were building on spirituality, then I realized, or we realized, that there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about Christ and the church. And this is Ephesians 5, verse 32 in the NLT. It says, "This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." So Christ shows us this relationship of intimacy that he has with the church, this oneness that he has with the church. And similarly, this is what should be mirrored in marriage. And so, you know, sitting and thinking about how can this intimacy be part of our marriage? How can we cultivate this intimacy in our marriage? And so we decided to go on a path. And this path that we decided to go on, we knew that it was going to be a hard path, a path of sacrifice, a path that was going to grow our marriage. At the same time, this path was not going to be easy. And so we had to accept that. Now, we were busy, and the good things were keeping us away from finding time to actually develop or, you know, grow in intimacy. So the good things like spending time with friends, doing overtime at work, you know, being at church all the time, volunteering, and not really having time for your family. And so we were like, oh, well, our lives are so busy. So when are we going to get the time to actually grow this intimacy that we're looking for? And so we had to intentionally create the time, intentionally put away those other good things, those good things of friendships, those good things of going to, you know, meetings, kitchen party meetings, weddings, and all of those other great things. But we had to cancel some of those things and begin to grow our marriage, to cultivate intimacy in our marriage, because that is a building block that we needed to work on. And so what are the things that we did that helped us to become intimate? The first thing that we did was we resourced. We sat down and we said, hey, how can we make our marriage better? And like my husband just said, when he's hot, he's hot. And so he led us. He started looking for mentors for us. And he found mentors, people that had gone ahead of us. We saw that they had done marriage well, and we wanted to glean and learn from them. And so he found these people, and he told me, Edna, these are the names. Who do you think we should pick? And we would pick those people, and we would hunt those people, have meetings with those people maybe once a week, sit down, ask them questions. How have you done this? Because we want to get better. And so we asked questions, and we were writing these things down. And so getting intimate was not just us sitting and saying, hey, let's get intimate. It was hard work. Mm-hmm. It was hard work. And the next thing that we embarked on was...
So what we did was, every Wednesday was a day we called a board meeting. So in the board meeting, Edna will come with her book, I come with my book, and then I'll say things that I feel during the week, the areas that I feel Edna didn't do so well in the marriage. And it's not a time for Edna to respond, it's just time for Edna to hear my feedback on how I experienced her during the week. And so she'll do the same on me. Then we come the other week and review how those areas that were identified, how are we doing? Are we doing well? Are we growing? Oh, at least there's 10% growth. It says, okay, at least there's growth. So as we're doing those things, we begin to see a different marriage, and we're growing in that.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. And the next thing that we did was to invest. Every marriage needs to be invested in. So we started to buy books. And it was great for me because during this time, we found a book called His Needs and Her Needs. Now, remember, coming from the cultural background, there's only his needs. There's no her needs. And so finding out there's her needs, I was like, oh my goodness, there's her needs. I need to get to know what her needs are because I thought I was not being real. So anyway, we found these books and we would read the book, do revision, sit down together, you know, revisit the book. And then because he loves to apply things, and he'll say, we cannot just read this book and get the knowledge. How can we apply this in our marriage? And so we were on this path. Everything we would read, let's apply. Everything we read, let's apply. And that's how the next thing that helped us to grow. The third thing that helped us to grow was connect. Connect, like he spoke about, us trying to grow in communicating. So we're growing in all these other areas, but we're still learning how to communicate. I don't know him very well. He doesn't know me very well. And so he had a book, like he said earlier, he had a book called Edna, and I had a book called Sammy. And on those board meeting days, he would tell me his likes, his dislikes, his what turns him on, what turns him off, and would be writing. Because remember, we were courting, and when we were courting, we had our likes and dislikes. But now when you're married, you have to revise. You have to go back and revisit what are the likes, what are the dislikes, and all of that. And it was during this process, recently when we did it again, that he found out that I like flowers again. Because before, I didn't like flowers, and he would buy me flowers every week. But then after communication started becoming better, he knew that I'm not a flower person. I was more of a candy, other things, jewelry person. But now I've gone back.
But it's interesting. You know, I was so excited. I go to the shop, get flowers for my wife. I get home. The following day, I see the flowers there in the bathroom. And then I say, is there something that I'm not doing right here? I thought every woman likes flowers. Yeah.
He was doing a good thing, but he was not meeting my need. Right. And the last thing we did, this thing that we did was really from, I should say it was from PH. Because Pastor Sam is here working and they're doing this personality test. And so whatever they would do with the personality test, this was like advanced personality test. So we knew about each other's personalities, but not to this depth. So he comes here, he learns about all these great things, and then he rushes back home and he says, we've got to have a meeting. We need to improve here. Personalities, I think we don't understand each other. We need to go in depth and understand who you are and who I am. And so after getting all that material from Pastor Haley, then we would go to like a lodge, Lai Lodge, sit there the whole day. And he would take me through all these things that he was learning here. And he made sure that I was part of the journey that he was growing in. And he did a wonderful job to actually carry me along, to learn about myself, but also him to learn about himself. And so we'll discuss, so this personality of yours has dysfunction, so how can I help you? Even you, the same. So we actually, this helped us to get to know each other's personalities. And so in the process of improving this intimacy, like I said earlier, you step on each other. And it's not like, okay, now we've decided that we're going to grow in intimacy. It's going to be a clean, wonderful road. It was hard because there were some things that we needed to address that were hard. And we needed to go to God and ask God to help us to search our hearts so that we can become better in the marriage that mirrors who God is, and God takes the glory. So it's been a journey of hard work, and I love the video that Pastor Walker showed us last week of this dance that was immaculate, that was timeless. But for that dance to look like that, there was a process. There was a process. And this is the process that we're talking about right now. For your marriage to get from where it is to a better space, you have got to lean into the hard process of saying that, yes, we need to get better. Yes, we need to confront those things that are in the marriage, and we need to work on them. And if it means that we're locked in a room and we confront each other, we lean into the confrontations and talk about the things that we need to improve. Those things that are not being said, but you say them. And no one is getting upset. But no, everybody wants the team to win.
No, Edna used to get upset.
Yes.
She used to cry. I can be aggressive, so I would tell her, no, this cannot. And she wants to keep quiet. I says, finish crying.
No, it's the way you were saying it.
Finish crying. Once
it's the
you
way
finish
you were
crying,
saying it.
We'll come back on the table and sort this issue.
It was necessary because sometimes I cry a lot. So yes, so we needed to go through the process, and stepping on each other's toes is okay. Because remember, me and him are going to be together for the next ish, maybe 50 years more. And if we don't figure things out now, the next 50 years is going to be miserable. So we need to figure things out now. Better we step on each other's toes now, and the next 50 years we are good.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, we don't just become. There is work to be put in there. So the last thing that we started doing was, now we needed to create a vision. So the meetings were going on every week. So it says, what is the vision? Now, this vision is not going to be based on just ourselves. This vision is going to be based on what God says. Because before, remember, I was building my own structure based on my ways. And everything was about me, this, that. Now I said, no, the marriage has to have a focus. But the focus has to be built on Jesus. And so we sat down and says, what is the vision? What does God want us to do as a couple? Now, in the vision, I also have to understand, what is a vision for Edna? What does she see for herself? Because I don't want just to be focusing on just myself. I also want to focus on this wonderful spouse of mine. So we start creating the vision board. We sit down and begin to say, this is the vision. This is what God wants us to do. Does he want us to save there? Does he want us to give there? What does God want us to do? Who are we going to be in the next 20, 50 years of our lives? What do we see? Do we see ourselves still holding hands when we are, you know, 50 and we can't even, you know, hold the hand? We can just hold the stick. Do we see that? What do we see? What does God say? And then we go to scriptures like Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it where? In vain. It says, we're not going to build our house based on our ways anymore. We're going to build our house based on his ways. His ways. And his ways alone. So we started creating that vision board there. And then as we kept on going, we found that the things that mattered in our lives, that we thought we were doing it, we threw away the culture, and the culture now that we're doing is the culture of the Bible. Not the culture that just focuses on the woman, she gets counseling, she gets beta, she goes to all these meetings, and yet the man is just at home watching football. Now there's even AFCON, watching football. And the poor has to be strong, big and reliable. Zanako, right? So the poor has to be strong. But the poor is weak. The poor is weak. The vine begins to blossom and grows, but because the poor is weak, boom, it goes back to the same place. Remember, the Bible says it is the small foxes that spoils the vine. For the vine not to be spoiled, the poor had to stand. So I needed to be big, not big outside, building muscle, big on God's word. And the Bible talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, dwell with them with understanding or with knowledge. Now, there's a bumper sticker that I saw somewhere. It says this. It says, so the bumper sticker says, the more I learn about women, the more I love my car. So the more I, now, what do I, how do I reverse that? The more I love Jesus, the more he helps me to love my wife. I begin to dwell with her with understanding. Because men who've been married for a long time, they understand that it's very difficult to understand our friends. They change over time, you know, and all that. And we all change. I'm not the same guy, you know, I'm bored now, right? I had powerful hair, my man, if you saw me. But over time, we all change. Over time, the things that Edna liked at one point, she didn't like flowers, like I said. Now she's the first person who says, you don't buy flowers anymore. And I said, you took away the fire. So now I have to go back and say, what do you like? So remember, it's communication over and over and over. Today, she likes chocolate, this type of chocolate. After 2 months, she says, no, not that one. This one. So as long as I keep on leaning. Now, I'm not giving up because I have the strength. It's because Jesus in me is helping me to be the husband that I should be towards my wife. So I'm not a superhuman being. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. So if you are here and you are thinking, my marriage is been struggling. Yes, I've done everything that I need to do, and yet we are not yet a team. The signs on the dashboard of your marriage is showing you are in red, and you don't even know what to do anymore. Some of your signs are telling you, no, it is in yellow. It needs attention. Well, I'm happy to tell you that at this church, we have so much resources. Remember, we share Christ and mature believers. There's a lot of resources for you to mature in that area. And here, I want to speak to men. Because most of the time, we fix the cracks of the house, and we fix the woman, and yet we don't fix the foundation. The man is not fixed. So even if no matter how much effort we put in fixing the marriage, if the man is not fixed, we keep on getting the cracks. We keep on having the same problems. So the man, as we heard last week, he leads by loving. So you have to lead in that area. You have to know what are the things that we're going to focus on. How are we going to grow in this area? How are we going to change the trajectory of our marriage? And our marriage today is getting much better. And we haven't stopped. Remember, things which are hot, if they just stay on the table, over time they become cold. Some of us think like, oh, we are hot. But if you're not doing anything about it, over time, it becomes cold. So what do? You keep on applying, taking it to the microwave, doing things about it. What can we do? And it's hot again. Act on it. Knowledge is not powerful. Knowledge is useless as long as you don't do anything about it. Knowledge becomes powerful when you act upon it. You can go to seminars and seminars. Marriage seminar after marriage seminar. Book after book. But if you don't act on the information and the word of God, it's just a waste of time. Work done, zero. But if you can take even just one scripture, just one scripture on God's word, and say, God, I want to see how you are going to transform me through this scripture, you see there's a difference in your marriage. Your wife becomes like a fruitful vine. Your children are likened to olive plants on the table. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We extol your holy name. You are good and you are kind. You are faithful, Lord, in all your ways. Father, you've called us. You say, your ways are higher than our ways. And your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, Father, but you invite us to come up higher to your ways. To come up higher to your standard. And Lord, as we talked about marriage today, you have invited us, Lord, to come higher in our marriage. And do the things that are necessary for us according to your word. According to the wisdom that comes from your word. To grow and become a better unit, a better marriage, becoming one in everything we do. Thank you, Father, that Lord, from examples that you've shown us in your word, Jesus showed us by example that he was a man and he lived a life of sacrifice, and how he showed us as men to live a life of sacrifice. We thank you, Father. We bless your name.